You lift me up from frozen ground, and once again I've fallen down, down, down. I tried to be a hero, but I'm just a man. So sanctify my wicked soul, sanctify my wicked soul.
Ken, before we get started with the funny stuff, where do we begin here?
Well, we've lost a very dear friend, and I think it might be appropriate just to have a couple of recollections about him.
Jim Armstrong. We first met him and his music. Met his music before we met him.
Yeah, I was going to say.
January 11th, 2011. It was episode 125 of You Can't Make It Up, and I remember being contacted by Jersey Joe, guy down.
I didn't remember that.
Well, it's Friday night, I need that rock and roll beat.
I remember because he introduced us to Jim Armstrong's music. He did his pick to click every week, and he chose Jim Armstrong that week, and he sent us an email and said, I want to make you aware of someone that I think his music would be a good fit for your show. And boy, was it ever.
Oh. Well, he's definitely was a friend to us and a friend of the program, as they say.
Mm. Toronto, Canada, Ontario, Canada, is where he is from. Not originally. He's from Southampton, Ontario, up near Lake, well, right on Lake Huron. It's about 2.5-3 hours northwest of Toronto. But, yeah, I remember speaking to Jim the first time about his music and about the band, the Sonic Deli Band, and I asked him, you know, how did you get all these amazing musicians to play with you? He said, I don't know. He said, I think they like me because I don't pay them anything, you know.
When I kiss you, that's when I miss you. In the dry once again.
And then we met Andrea Polis because of Jim. Andrea is, well, his music partner. They are co-owners of Sonic Deli Records. They've known each other for 25 years, just about 25 years. And they're best friends and just really dear people. But they think a lot alike when it comes to music, and they're co-writers on a number of his songs.
And she's watching the world go by, sitting on the side.
And the two of them together, just prolific. What, four studio albums, any number of other compilations and playing out all the time. And Jim never took, you know, any fame that he had achieved and accolades, and never took it seriously. He gave his heart with his music. He actually was a spokesperson for Epilepsy Toronto. It is the world's, well, one of the largest advocacy groups in the world. And every year they do what is called Busker Fest. It's the only street festival of its kind that is sponsored by a charity, Epilepsy Toronto. And they asked Jim a number of years ago, would you mind being a spokesperson and, you know, playing your music on street corners and helping people to be aware? But it's a big fun. It's an event that goes on for days, Busker Fest.
Right. Well, of course, he had a very personal reason for doing that.
Yeah, he did. He had epilepsy since age 8. And he always looked at it as, you know, don't make a big deal out of it, guys. So what? You know, so I have epilepsy. I'm not defined by it. And and he was a great guy. And I hate saying past tense, saying was, because he is
right.
He is a great guy. And I just, do you have any thoughts about, you know, his music and about his impact on us? Because you know him. I mean, you know what he's done for us.
Well, not so much about the music, but my recollection is that he is a, I mean, I think I have a pretty dry sense of humor, but his was Saharan.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And he cut a very amusing promo for us, which maybe we can sneak in here at some point.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And he's going to be forever a part of our radio station. I'd like to conclude this by just telling you what Andrea wrote on her Facebook a couple days after we lost him. We lost him on Monday. We heard about it on Monday, May 2nd. And she took a day or so to compose herself about what she wanted to put on her Facebook. And she said, I had to write something, so here it is. This is the words of Andrea Polis, Jim Armstrong's dearest friend in this world. We finally found Jim Armstrong and our hearts are broken. As much as we hoped he would be located safe and sound, we've learned that we lost him to Lake Huron. One day we will be able to move past the pain and grief and just remember all the wonderful things about him and how much we loved and lived life with him. We will always know how talented a singer, songwriter, musician, producer of music, and he leaves with us that rich legacy of his music. Jim was a very kind and special person, and they don't come along very often. We were lucky to have him for as long as we did. Thank you to everyone who cared, shared, and sent wishes and prayers. Jimmy would have been so touched to know that he was in the hearts and thoughts of so many of you. Jimmy Armstrong is gone at age 53, and we will never, ever forget this man.
I'm coming home.
Hey, this is Jim Armstrong in Toronto, and you're listening to a track off my new Junction Road album, Worn Out Shoes. Speaking of things used up, here's more Two Kens of my favorite comedy show, You Can't Make It Up.
You can catch her dancing on the front porch in her worn out shoes. She's doing the boogie woogie.
You Can't Make It Up, show number 296 for the week of May 2nd. How'd that happen? A new month.
I have no idea. I wish you would stop doing that. Tired of getting old.
I'm old of getting tired.
Well, there you go.
His name is Ken.
As is his.
Online, you can find us at twokenscomedy.com. In real life, we're hard to find.
You can't find us at all. We've been hiding from the law authorities for decades.
And the law won.
Yes.
You take this job and shove. I ain't working here no more.
You know, I was thinking, Ken, as we head into May, it won't be long before commencement day arrives and many college grads across the U.S. and Canada, they'll be hitting the summer jobs market.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Which means they have to hone their interviewing skills, which brings us to you, sir.
Yes. But you can't hone a skill you don't have. Let's get that out of the way first. Regular listeners will know, and you folks who are new, you won't. But from time to time, we try to keep you abreast of what we call stupid job interview tricks so that you won't make the same mistake. Inevitably, though, you will.
Under your name, you have written anonymous.
You do Facebook? Just friend me on it. It's pretty thorough. Actually, don't friend me just yet.
So what is Omnicore?
We made slap bracelets.
Isn't Omnicore the name of the company from that movie RoboCop?
The book said I shouldn't take any calls.
Resume is fake.
What skills do you have?
I have no problem lying under oath. Previous work experience.
My job consists of basically masking my contempt for the assholes in charge.
Now, this particular one doesn't involve the usual fare of somebody lying on their resume or their job app or embellishing it with things that obviously aren't true and can be fact-checked. And, you know, we're not going to do that this time, all right?
Okay.
This is something different. Okay, now, here's a guy, 39-year-old Ryan Dixon, who demonstrates what has to be a classic example of how not to arrive at a job interview.
Okay.
All right. Now, that's assuming the guy wanted the job in the first place, and based on what I read, it's not an assumption I would make. But anyway, so his first mistake, and by the way, this took place over in Des Moines, Iowa, in the heartland, which actually is a very nice place.
It is. If I'm not mistaken, Des Moines is the capital of the Quaker Oats. As you drive into town, cornfields. Oh, look, there's a town. Oh, it's a city. It's a big water tower, a big tank up there, and the Quaker Oats woman is up there, you know.
Oh, that's what that was. I thought it was Barbara Bush.
That's right. It's Barbara Bush right there in Des Moines, Iowa.
So anyway, or Des Moines, as people from the East Coast sometimes say.
Des Moines.
Hey, this Des Moines.
Hey, cab.
Yeah,
Took me to Des Moines. Anyway,
the first mistake this guy made was getting rip-roaring drunk the night before.
Well, yeah, that's a nice way to, you know, just takes the edge off the interview.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I thought it's a good idea. Mm. Now, the reason we know that he was rip-roaring drunk is that when he got to the destination, the parking lot of wherever this place was he was going to interview, there was a woman standing outside, apparently on her smoke break. People still do that.
Yes.
And she saw him trying and failing miserably to maneuver into a parking space. he basically crashed the cars in front of him, the car behind him, and so forth.
Yep.
And so she alerted the police.
Ah.
And the police showed up, suspecting he was under the influence. Now, this guy, Mr. Dixon, well, first he told police, no, he hadn't been drinking. It's not a good idea either, as it was so obvious.
But there was a mosquito, and he was trying to...
So now he changes his story. Then he said, well, he stopped drinking around 2 o'clock in the morning and then went to the hospital for his alcohol consumption. Really?
I get mine at a bar, but...
And then he said the hospital released him at 8 o'clock, and then he headed over to the job interview.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the police pressed him a little further, and then he admitted, well, yeah, I hadn't drunk another fifth of vodka on the way here. All right. So the cops, well, you know, following procedure, administer a sobriety test with predictable results. In fact, this guy scored, if that's the right word, he scored 0.273. on the breath test.
Okay.
Now in Des Moines, that is 3 times the legal limit for driving.
Well, once, twice, 3 times a lady.
So this guy obviously not in shape. Now here's the thing. He was driving drunk to this place to interview for a job as, you ready?
Go ahead.
A driver at the local cab company.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the local church was interviewing for a pastor.
No, but he wanted to, the driver.
Yeah, I can drive.
Yeah. Hey, cab.
Yeah, right. Where do you want to go, lady?
I got your white glove lady right here.
What's Uber?
Yeah.
I don't know this for a fact because it wasn't in the article, but I don't think he got the job.
Probably not.
No. Whoops.
So you kids just graduating from college or high school this month.
Yeah.
Just take note.
Right. We're not going to go so far as to say don't drink before the job interview, but allow yourself enough time to, you know, sober up.
Or at least bring enough for the entire class.
Yes. If you're going to bring some, if you're going to have some for yourself, bring enough to share, Johnny.
There you go. Ferraro, a trio of brothers from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I love that vibe, Ken. That's that classic rootsy rock and roll from the...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's their title track, Losing Sleep.
Story of my life.
Off their brand new record that dropped just last Friday, April 29th. Uh-huh. By the way, the kids, the boys, Cosmo, Tally, and Gianni, they grew up around music. Their family owns the legendary The Cameron House. So they, you know, if your family owns a venue and you're into music, you got a free place to practice with all kinds of audiences, right?
I like the names. Colin.
No, Cosmo.
Tally.
And Gianni.
That's catchier than John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
That's it. Yeah. They launched Thursday night before the album went everywhere, at the... their hometown show at the Rivoli, and that's a major place too. That's well known in Toronto. So there you go. The gang, the trio called Ferraro, Losing Sleep is the track. It's also the title of the album. We'll put links out there on the show notes to get you up to speed.
So when you say the record dropped,
That means it launched.
Ah, see, when I drop a record, it really drops.
Yeah, well, you go way back to when you dropped the arm and the needle and on the turntable.
No, I actually break the vinyl.
There you go.
Whoops.
From our Only in America files, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lawsuit that could only happen in America. The victim of a car accident is suing Snapchat. You know what that is, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, his Mitsubishi was rear-ended by a Mercedes traveling in excess at the time of impact.
100 miles an hour, babe, that's what it's all about. I need a lover that can slow me down. Somebody that'll make me shout.
100 miles per hour. And this guy's alive to sue.
Okay, so he was hit.
Yeah, he was hit.
Uh-huh.
The driver of the speeding bullet on wheels, Crystal McGee, told police, because she survived too, told police she wanted to post an image of herself going fast. Now, let me tell you about Snapchat. They have a filter that lets you take a selfie of the speed you're going. Grabs the speedometer, puts that in the corner of your Snapchat. And she said, I was trying to get to 100. She had a passenger in the car. That person lived, too. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Whole thing happened just outside of Atlanta, of course.
Oh, naturally.
The plaintiff, who lived, Wentworth Maynard was his name. Maynard?
Wentworth.
He was struck so violently, according to his lawyers, the car shot across the left lane into the left embankment. You know how fast the filters on Snapchat said old Crystal was going?
Oh, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Time of impact, 107 miles per hour. Bam! Right into the back of the Mitsubishi, which, well, doesn't look like one now.
No. Looks like the front.
Looks like the thing they play at Polkas, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The filter, by the way, does not block stupid people, apparently.
No.
Ms. McGee wasn't done. She proceeded to snap another memory on her way to the hospital. This one in the back of the ambulance with blood covering her face. The caption... Lucky to be alive. Wish you weren't.
No.
We should never be allowed to talk to people.
You're too stupid to breathe the same air we breathe.
It's amazing how someone can be brainless and alive.
Yeah. So, Snapchat is involved in a lawsuit. You know, kind of a accessory. Last thing her mom said to her on the way out the door, remember to accessorize.
Yeah. How is it? You tell me this. All right, I don't want to sound like the old curmudgeon, you know. How is it that people so stupid know how to use this stuff?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it just
works. Just,
yeah. It's on autopilot.
Yeah. Freeze
frame! You know, it's a good thing that this person you're going to tell us about next wasn't the first officer on the scene.
Yeah, that would have been presented with a couple of complications, I think.
This would qualify as your moment of definitely duh.
Yep. I can hear this guy say, yeah, take a selfie of this. Yeah. Notice we say dis, not this, because we're going to be in New Jersey momentarily.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, it is our moment of duh, and as per usual, our tip of the week. And it's pretty straightforward, and here it is. Now, as I often say, not that we condone this sort of thing, but... If you plan on impersonating a police officer or worse, a state trooper, try to be, you know, smarter than a six-year-old when it comes to outfitting your phony police car.
Well, there's
my tip.
There's a limitation right there.
It is. Yeah, I think six-year-old is the cutoff.
Yeah.
So as I said, we're going to New Jersey for this, and this is reported by the folks at NBC New York, and a man not identified in the NBC article. You remember NBC, the people that can't tell Wisconsin from Michigan? You know those folks?
No broadcasting here.
So anyway, this guy decided to play state trooper. Now, he was driving along in his specially outfitted white Jeep Cherokee, and he attempted to pull over another car. Mm-hmm. Now, unbeknownst to him, the other car was being driven by an off-duty state trooper.
Ah.
The fun begins.
Yes, spy versus spy.
It is. So our guy in the white Jeep starts flashing the emergency blue lights that he, outfitted the Jeep with, pulls behind the other car, and, how can I put this? Due to some, let's say, some procedural irregularities, it didn't take long for the real trooper to figure out that this guy was not.
Yeah.
All right. So he calls it into his colleagues at the real state police barracks. And they arrive and they catch up with this clown. Now, whatever defense this guy might have had was quickly obliterated because the real state troopers got out, examined his Jeep, and they saw, among other things, on one side, he had a New Jersey State Police logo on the car.
Okay.
Okay. But unfortunately, on the other side, he had a Pennsylvania State logo.
Oh, I thought you were to tell me it said Domino's.
No. So which are you, the Jersey police or the Pennsylvania police?
I don't know. I'm lost.
I'm not sure that I agree with you 100% on your police work there, Lou.
Well, you know, I mean, come on. At least think that one through.
Yeah.
Anyway, and when it was all done and the guy was booked and everything, the folks at the New Jersey State Police, they posted the following on their Facebook page, kind of summing the whole thing up. They said, quote, "The moral of the story is don't try to stop cars if you're not a cop. And the rest of you, don't stop for a white Jeep Grand Cherokees. Call 911 instead."
You know, you said the real state trooper called it into his colleagues at the real state police barracks. Now, the bad guy, the impersonator, called it into his buddies at the make-believe state police barracks, the bar.
Yeah.
And they told him, arrest him anyway.
They did.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's trying to get a selfie with the...
Want to hold still, officer?
Make up your mind.
Meanwhile, over there is a wrecked Mitsubishi. Oh, this is New Jersey. All right.
Yeah, they're all wrecked.
Yeah, well, let's see what I have to offer here. Oh, in memorial to our last artist last week, old T-Bone Burnett, out there with humans from Earth.
T-Bone.
All right, mobile Earthlings, listen up. You can take us with you. Grab your free app, iOS or Android, at Stitcher. That's Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio. And so on our way out, now I love, this is the way I like my Southern roots rock. Deeply steeped in soul. The band is called The Roosevelts. There's a wicked hook up ahead. You be listening. They're Nashville-based duo by way of Austin, Texas. Wowed them at South by Southwest. The track is Peaches. It's the lead single on their debut album, The Greatest Thing You'll Ever Learn, How to Interview for a Job.
Yeah.
Right,
maybe,
here.
Maybe their record dropped too.
It did, April 22nd.
Well, here it
goes. Help me.
And if you're interviewing for a job, don't do it on Cinco de Mayo.
No.
It comes in marching like a soldier. And then one day you'll wake up and she's gone.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2, 2 canscomedy.com.
And I got one thing on my mind. Could someone please bring me some peaches? And I ain't talking about highway. I need love. Can you give it to me? I need love.
If you know what I mean, well then give it to me, baby. Give it to me, babe. I need love.